Well, good morning. The title of our talk this morning is What to Do When Work Becomes Selfish. As some of you will know, we're in a series of six talks based very loosely on this book by Timothy Keller, Every Good Endeavor. And we've been looking at God's plan for our work, our problems with work, and we should be looking at the gospel and work. Now, this is the fourth in the series, so if you've missed three, they are on the COGS website, so do turn up those ones. So Andy, the first week, talked about work as tasks. So we're not just thinking about being in the workplace, because some of you might think, well, I'm not there now, or I'm bringing up children at home. But we're including work, everything we do, well, when we're not resting, really, and anything we put effort into. So it includes everybody here this morning. And we were created to work. God worked and he rested. And he gave us that rhythm of life. And if we see work as the first people, Adam and Eve, were put into the Garden of Eden to work it, to care for God's creation, if we see our work as caring directly or indirectly for God's creation, it gives it a whole new meaning. Now, you might be a mum working at home bringing up children. You might be somebody caring for an elderly relative. You might be a lawyer. You might be an MP. Whatever it is, in directly or indirectly, we're caring for God's world. We're part of his big story, his plan for the world. Simon talked about our work as service, loving our neighbour. And if we see work not just as earning a living, which is necessary for some of us, most of us probably over the years, but actually of loving our neighbour, it puts a whole new emphasis on it. And then last week, Paul talked about the problems with work, because we're all human and we get it wrong and we make a mess of things. And we have to work through that in our work life. So I had the joy, I think it's the joy, of working in education as a single person for 43 years. And I was a teacher in a primary school, state schools, and then I was in an independent Christian school. And then for 7 years I was involved in inspecting faith schools across England. So it was quite a long stint. Most of you probably had a break to have children and bring them up, but it's all work. It's all part of our assignment, our task that God's given us. And just as the other speaker spoke, and I want to start in Genesis, where in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, that's the man and woman he'd created, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." And then moving on towards the chapter 11 that I am going to speak about, in Genesis 6-8, we have the flood, Noah's flood. And we know that God saved the family through them building an ark in obedience to God. And in Genesis 9, God blessed Noah and his sons after the waters had receded. They were back on dry land. And he said to them, familiar words from Genesis 1, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." And then he repeated it again in verse 7. So these people, Noah's descendants, were having the same instruction as Adam and Eve had had in verse 1. And then in chapter 10, we read of Noah's descendants spreading across the earth, and as they were directed to do. But in chapter 11, which we're going to look at today, it isn't in chronological order to chapter 10. It's like a snapshot of chapter 10. And it's a group of people who decided that they wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to spread across the earth and do as God had said. And so as I read these verses again, Andy read the whole passage, but I'll just read the first chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, I'm going to read. "As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, which is Babylonia, and they settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth, which is what God wanted them to be. So this Tower of Babel, in the Old Testament, is a word used for Babylon, and it symbolized man's ambition to dethrone God so that they could own the earth. And these people wanted to reach heaven by their own efforts. They were absolutely defiant of God. There isn't any mention of God in this. They hadn't sought God about building this city, or they hadn't prayed about it at all. And you might think, well, yeah, that's an old story. But actually, is our world today that different? You know, we want to move into the 21st century, and we live in a me-centered society, actually. Words like self-centered, self-confident, self-sufficient, self-fulfillment, self-important, self-righteous, self-satisfied, self-reliant, they're common words in our vocabulary. And it may be the individual that's being selfish, or it may be a group of people, as in these, I call them the Babel builders. They were together selfish, wanted to do their own thing. So I'm going to speak on this passage under three headings: self-willed, self-promoting, and self-protecting. I'm a teacher, so you've got 3 points. Self-willed, self-promoting, and self-protecting. Now, under self-willed, these people just thought about themselves. They hadn't looked back to their ancestor Noah, who had been said blameless man, walked with God. They just had, a generation or two later, I don't know how many generations it was, but they had lost their way. They had become totally self-centered. And God has given us all gifts, abilities, and talents. And, you know, but do we seek God about our work? Do we lay these things before God and say, Lord, this is what my gifts, my talents, my abilities, these are my dreams. Do we really come before God? Or are we self-willed and think, oh, I want to do that, and off we go without any prayer or consideration? And God has given us free will, but our choices have consequences. And these Babel builders came under God's judgment, and in the end they were scattered across the earth. And one day the Bible says we will all give an account of our life to God one day. The choices we make, work is a big part of our life. The choices we make about it are important. None of us is perfect, and we'll get it wrong, and we perhaps apply for the wrong job, and God, you know, come back to God, and we straighten ourselves and find you'll make good of it. But I'm encouraged by some of the people in the Bible. David, in Psalm 143, verse 10, said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit guide me on level ground. And God led him from being a shepherd boy to a king. He was with him. He made his mistakes, but he kept coming back to God and saying, Lord, I've done it my way. Please forgive me, in words to that effect. In the New Testament, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. That's in John 6, verse 38. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a rabbi. He was a disciple, mentor, whatever you like to call it these days. He came to die for us. In Ephesians, Paul said to this new church of the Ephesians, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to know what God is saying to us about our work. If we're mums at home, whether we go out to work or not, if we're caring for elderly relatives, whatever it is, whatever our tasks are, we need to seek God's will in it and not be selfish. Now, even when we do that, it isn't always a walk in the park. And I want to share an example from my own life. I had been at my first school for 9 years, and I was sensing God moving me on somewhere else. And so I had also felt I was going to be part of a church plant. God had spoken to me about moving town, selling my house, giving my job and moving. And one of the church leaders said to me, Julia, I've been praying for you, and I think your next job is going to come through a phone call. Now, obviously, words like that, you've got to test and weigh, but it landed in me in faith. I thought, yes, it's going to come through a phone call. So eventually, at the 11th hour, as God always works, and I was a shimmering whatever, it came, and the phone call came, and I went to this school. I climbed the steps, I can see it now, and I felt physically sick. I thought, Lord, I can't work here. This is awful. There's something really dark about this place. I can't work. And straight into my mind came those words that Jesus heard in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. And I felt God say, I want you here. So I did. I went. It was the only job that came anyway. So, and unbeknown to me, my head teacher from my other school had rung all the schools in this town and said, you know, that I was coming. And that's how they knew that I was. Amazing, actually. Anyway, I went. It was awful. It soon became apparent that I was seeking God's will, and everyone else in that place was not even acknowledging God's presence and existence. And they soon sussed who I was, and life was awful. I used to go home crying every night, and I kept thinking, oh, Lord, you gave me this job, but I, you know, and I've got to stick it. It's your will, I know. But it was awful. And I couldn't cope on my own, so I said to our little fledgling church, please do pray. Well, they got behind me and they started praying. And any of you that are in a situation like this, get your connect group, get your church, get people to pray with you, behind you. You need support. It's a lonely place out there when you're walking against the tide. And so they prayed. Within a year, quite unexpectedly, two of the atmosphere setters left. And it was amazing. They appointed a Christian and certainly a God-fearing person. And the atmosphere started to change. And it was only just the sheer grit of God's Spirit in me that kept me going every day. Anyway, at the end of 3 years, when it was time for me to move on again, I didn't want to leave. It was so good. God had done so much. We started having Christian assemblies in that school. We had so much had changed. And there was no swearing. The staff room had been, well, I won't describe it. It was dreadful. Anyway, it was a happy place. There was no more backbiting. All the stuff that comes with people who perhaps, well, even us as Christians, we're not perfect. But, you know, it's hard being in the workplace there. And yet, if we're doing God's will, he says he'll never leave us. And these Babel builders did not seek God's will. And they bore the punishment of that. But with God's help, we can do it. And we say in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And when we pray that, it's not always easy. So number two, self-promoting. These people wanted to make a name for themselves because they had not got it. They said, we want to build a city and a tower that reaches the heavens to make a name for ourselves. Now, how many people go into the workplace for that? Most people want their identity. They're looking for belonging. They're looking for acceptance, for reputation, and so on. And I love this passage in Ephesians. Oh, here's the Tower of Babel, self-promoting. We don't know what it looked like, really, but this is what some artists think it might. It never got finished, incidentally. But Ephesians 1, Paul said in the Message, which is a new version of the Bible, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. And then in Ephesians 2:10, Paul said, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do God good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God calls us to do the work he wants to give us. So as we seek and pray, instead of selfishly going off and doing our own thing, he will find it. We will find the right place. And as Christians, our identity has got to be in God. If we are, I'm so glad Joe chose that song about I'm a child of God. That's who I am. And that's who we are, brothers and sisters. We are children of God. We don't have to go in the workplace and promote ourselves and push ourselves forward and shove and push and make a name for ourselves. Our identity is in God. In John 3:16, we say, God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for us, that if we believe in him, we'll enjoy eternal life. If we admit our wrongs, admit that we got it wrong, come to him and repent, he will become our new employer. Through my working life, I had two employers, a heavenly one and an earthly one. I was a Christian when I was 17, so I had two employers all the way through. I've only got one now because I haven't got an earthly one. I won't use that word retirement because I don't believe in retirement. I don't think it's a godly concept. I think while there's breath, God's got work for us to do and to further his kingdom. We can't just think finished work. We've still got a heavenly employer. Our identity is in Christ. You see, when we finish work, some of us fall apart because we've lost our identity of work. And actually, our identity is in Christ. We're children of the King. We've got a loving Heavenly Father. And once that identity is there, it gives us a freedom. Like that song said, we're free. So we don't need to build towers to ourselves. See, our 21st century towers are reputation, money, power, pride, status. That's what people are out there doing the work for themselves. And that's what they're trying to build. Towers to themselves, to honour themselves, to push, to shove. We all do it. Perhaps exaggerate our CVs or whatever we do to get forward, push. Never mind who we push out on the way. And yet, if we're in Christ and we're doing the work he's given us, we don't need to get into all that stuff. I was once from my first school. I was thinking God was moving me, and my head teacher said, "Julia, there's a job going there," and it was considerable promotion. And he said, "It's yours. I know the head. I know it's yours." So I went along, and I thought, "Lord, is this for me?" And I walked in. I thought, "Oh, it's a lovely school. I could be happy here." And straight away, I felt God say, "This job is not for you." So I turned it down. And fortunately, I was then available to go on this church plant, which happened soon after. But I could easily have been pushed into that, and I would have been stressed. I hadn't got enough experience, you know. And sometimes we've got to come back to God and say, is this promotion for me? Do I apply for that? Is it right? Is it not? Because we don't want to be Babel builders building our own towers. C.S. Lewis said, you know, about pride. He said, pride doesn't come from being rich, clever, or good looking, but it comes from being richer, cleverer, and better than others. We exalt ourselves by comparing and contrasting with others. Instead of being secure in who we are in Christ, we're children of the King. We're daughters and sons and daughters of a Heavenly Father who's loved us, given himself for us. And so Jesus said in the New Testament in John 7:4, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And that's what we're here for, to discover what is the work that God has given us to do. So whatever we're doing, let's not promote ourselves. Let God move us on. At the end of my 3 years at this awful school, I actually was offered the promotion I'd been turned down 3 years before. And I thought, no, I can't do it, because unlike Michelle, that verse has been very significant for me through my life. My default is I can't do it. And God has taught me all through, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I was offered this promotion again. I thought, oh no, I won't do it, I can't do it. And I got some friends to pray. I thought, oh, I better pray about it. And I felt God say, yes, it's yours. This is for you. And it was 3 years later, I'd got more experience, and it was more sense, you know, because sometimes men and women go for this, you know, promotion. Families suffer, you know, breakdown of marriage, workaholics arise. But if we go at God's pace, God's speed, he will open doors. I've only ever applied for my first job. All the others have just come, fallen into place. And lastly, self-protecting. These builders, Babel builders, they didn't have an identity. That's why they had to build their tower. We don't need to build towers. We can trust God. Self-protecting. Now, I haven't got time to go into all these people's lives, but our instinct is to protect ourselves. It's a natural instinct. And they, the Babel builders, said, we'll be scattered across the face of the earth. So they wanted to stay put. They were happy. They were content. They didn't want to go any further. But actually, their disobedience to God's command, you know, they wanted to have their power and autonomy without any reference to God and his plan. And these biblical characters, they were not self-protecting. Gideon had to go out and fight the Midianites with 300 men as against the 30,000 he wanted. Esther went into the king and asked for her people, the Jews, to be saved. Daniel refused to stop praying and was thrown in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's big statue and were thrown in a fiery furnace. Paul was beaten, shipwrecked. So even when we're not self-promoting, we're not self-willed, it's tough. It's not a walk in the park being a Christian. But until we find somebody worth dying for, we haven't got anybody worth living for. And I think Jesus is worth dying for. So all these people, you know, we can't be self-protective. We don't want to be self-promoting or self-willed, but we don't want to be self-protecting. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that, which I would naturally be. Anyway, I'm just coming into land. So one time when I was called in to do an inspection work, I was shaking like a leaf. I had to go up for some training, and I was so shaken I could hardly hold the car wheel. So I stopped in a lay-by and said, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to help me. I can't do it. I'm an absolute shimmering wreck. And God just poured his peace into me, and I just went off that day, and it was fine. But, you know, we do need to keep coming back to God and saying, Lord, this is too much for me, but if you want me to do it, faith means taking risks, and sometimes God takes us forward. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's all about Jesus. It's not about self. We don't want to be self-willed, self-promoting, and self-protecting. Let's see God's our tasks as caring for God's creation, loving our neighbour, serving God. And I want to just finish by reading this prayer, which I found when I was preparing. Amazing, isn't it, how God puts these things? Lord, I thank you for the way you've made me, for the many gifts and talents you've placed within me, and I trust that I'm the best person for this job. I'm grateful for each and every one of the personalities I work with, even the ones I don't particularly like or understand. I ask that my focus would be on accomplishing the goals you've set for me to perform during my time in this position. Give me wisdom and discernment on the job, even in the midst of a hostile environment. Help me to learn what you want to teach me here, and give me patience as you prepare me for the future. Help me to do my best and to always remain positive and hopeful. Please quiet the complaints and disappointments of my heart with your perfect peace, and allow me to trust you with my job. Dress me in the garments of praise and the righteousness of Christ, that I may bring you glory where I work. Allow me to know my true identity, to walk in your favor, and to seek to please you more than those with whom I work. Where there is contention, let me be a peacemaker. Where there's deceit, let me speak truth. Where there's despair, let me bring hope. Where there's fear, let me bring faith. Where there's darkness, let me bring light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.